But John.
Blog Talk Radio.
But John.
Yeah.
I was locked out of this room. All these people up in this room, I had the hell to get in here. Okay. Let me start it off. Okay, welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. For the rest of the remainder of the time, there were so many people in this room, I couldn't even get in here. We give you Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to be with you once again. And hope you had a enjoyable day. And you to the session tonight. I felt led to talk about the eternal home of the saved. The eternal home of the saved. In other words, the place where we be going someday when the good Lord is ready for us. So let's just start off in prayer, okay? Our Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We give you the praise and the glory, Father. We pray that you would anoint us with revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will empower me to share the word regarding our heavenly home. And I ask that you give us clarity, simplicity, and boldness that we can understand what is being taught as well as just knowing you and about our heavenly home. May our minds be alert and clear and our hearts become receptive. And I pray, Father, that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will move in such that every stronghold of unbelief, discord, and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And finally, Father, I pray that your words will bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence today. In the name of Jesus Christ, your divine Son, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. To come up with this topic, that was really strange because I didn't know what I wanted to talk on. And I was just looking at different, you know, subjects and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, the Lord laid it on my heart. They talk about our eternal home. That is all of us who are saved. And what I want to do now is just say some scriptures right quick, and then we'll get into the session. Our first scripture comes from John 1:12, and it says, as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And so I guess what the Lord wanted, I put that scripture at the last minute. I guess the Lord said, you're finna talk about my home and their home, but they need to know what they need to do to get here. And what he said in John 12, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And we know as theologians, he's talking about we must receive him as our personal Lord and Savior, and that we recognize that he's what? He is the Son of God. He's not just a man who thinks he's God or some hypocrite and all these kind of things, a lunatic, but he's really the Son of God. And the other verse that came up, and these verses is relevant to what I'm going to be talking about this evening. The next one comes from the book of John, the 5th chapter, verses 24, and it reads as follows. He says, this is the Lord talking. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And the second one he gave me was John, the 14th chapter, verses 2. And it reads as follows. It says, this is Jesus talking. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the next one comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14. Remember, the session tonight, the title is Our Eternal Home, or The Eternal Home of the Savior. I'm going to discuss, I'm going to discuss a little bit about what God revealed to me about our heavenly home, heaven. Hebrews 4:14, it reads as follows, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That said, where's the song? Okay. I'm getting some interruption. Hebrews 4:14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions. Why am I getting these interruptions? You know, I don't know if you folks can hear me or not. Getting a lot of interference here. I don't know if anybody can hear me now. Okay, I'm going to go on. All right. Hebrews 4:14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And then we have Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And it reads as follows. After these things, I look and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes, talking about all human beings, and peoples in different tongues and languages. They're all before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and pinion branches were in their hands. That's in the book of Revelation, where it talks about at the end, when the end comes, and God called all his saints and raptured them up, and we in heaven, we be before the throne, before him, our Father God, and the Holy Spirit. He loves us. And that's going to be a great thing. Can you imagine up there before the throne of God himself with all your sisters and brothers in the Lord from all nationalities and nations and so forth? Then he gave me Revelation 21:4. 21:4 says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. That's another good comforting word. And when we're there, there'll be no more death, no more pains, no more sorrows, none of these things. So we have a beautiful heavenly home to go to. And he says, cowards and unbelievers and abominables and the murderers and the immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone forever. That's Revelation 21:4. And then the last scripture I want to share, which comes from Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verses 11 and so on. Verse 11 says, let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy, and let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. He said, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. And I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Now remember, our session tonight is on the eternal home of the saved. And listen to what he says in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 22. And it says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have right through the trees of life and may enter the gates into the city. But the others who don't believe in Jesus, and he's a hypocrite, are playing games, phony preachers, phony pastors, phony citizens, phony church members, and all these other kind of things. So you got your good and your bad in every profession. You know, you got good cops, bad cops. You got good managers, you got bad managers. You got good this and good that. So, you know, nobody, each denomination or each position of you holding a title, you have your good and your bad. And so he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you that these things, I am the root and descendants of David. And he's talking about his returning to earth someday. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. And what I want to do, one other thing I want to say before I get into this teaching specifically, I want to say that, as you know, most people in this world, even though they have denied the existence of hell, they don't believe in hell, and they don't believe in the existence Once you did, you did. And one of the first references in the scripture of heaven, Noah, Abraham says, I look for a city. That's what he's saying. That way back there in genealogy, he says, I'm looking for a heavenly home. He was aware because it was in his spirit. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. And he's confirming that we have a heavenly home to go to. It's in John chapter 14, verse 2. It says, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. This session describes what it would be like and how we will live in it. Let me repeat that again. This session, particularly tonight, will tell what it's going to be like and how we will live in it. Now remember, John 14, chapter 14, 2 says, in my Father's house are many, many, many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare for you. Again, I go to prepare a place for you. But we know he had to come here first to be a sacrificial death so that we can have eternal life. Hopefully and prayerfully, this session, we'll give you a good review of what it will be like and how we will live in it. It was a study and a half talking about heaven. You're going to be surprised some of the things I got from the Lord about heaven. You know, you think I had a ship or something, or an airplane, a rocket, went to heaven, came back, the stuff he gave me. So hopefully and prayerfully, this session will give us a review of what it will be like and how we will live in it. Let me repeat that. This session, hopefully, will give us some idea, an inkling, as to what heaven will be like and how we will live in it. Someone observed that the older we become, I know a bunch of fellow citizens in my age bracket in the 80s, and remember, several of my buddies they feel like they're not too sure about heaven. They really want to know. They doubt. Some say they don't doubt. And many are concerned without knowing the details about our return home. They say, I'd like to know. I really would like to know what's happening like. And you know what brought to my mind? That's like when we're buying a house. Before we buy the house, before we go there, we want to know what it's like, how it's built, what it's made of, how many floors it have. Does it have front door, back door, side door? Does it have this and all these air conditioning, these kinds of things? We want to know everything about it. And so that's how we sometimes, when we in church and we like, wonder what's heaven like, because the pastor be talking about today, heaven is our home and blah, 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 blah. And so I want to share with you, like when you're ready to buy a house, I'm going to go out of town to buy a new home and relocate it. You want to know what it looks like and how comfortable you're going to be in it, what it has to offer. Are you getting a cheapskate house or are you getting the real thing? And is it really cost what you're paying for and these kinds of things that you want to know? So this evening, you know what I want to address specifically? I plan to talk about 5 categories of interest I would like to share with you. I want to talk about 5 categories of heaven that I think would be interesting to you, because when I was doing all my digging, my studying, I saw a lot of things in the different books I was reading about heaven, and I picked these 5 topics or subtopics under heaven, our heavenly home. 1, I'm going to talk about the location of heaven. Because you know in the Bible, we talk about 3 heavens. You got the first heaven, which is above us, with airplanes flying. And the second heaven, with the rockets going, stuff like that. And the third heaven, where God's abide. So I want to talk about, 1, the location of heaven. 2, the description of heaven. 3, the inhabitants of heaven. 4, the activities of heaven. 5, things to do in heaven. Let me repeat that. 1, I'm going to talk about the location of heaven. We know that the third heaven. And the second thing, description. I'm going to describe the description of heaven. The third thing I'm going to talk about, the inhabitants of heaven. The fourth thing, the activities of heaven. And the fifth thing is things we're going to be doing in heaven. So I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it'd be a learning experience. Well, it sure was for me, too, because during my study, I didn't realize that there was a lot of things I needed to know, a lot of things. So now I want to deal with the first one, location of heaven. Now, the Bible seems to teach there are 3 heavens, right? But only 1 is the abode of God where he lived. You got the first heaven and the second heaven. The first, Heaven is what? Our atmosphere. Heaven refers to the air and the atmosphere that surrounds every human being and all created life upon earth. And also, behold, the birds and the fowls of the air, they'd be floating around, flying around in the first heaven that's up in the sky. Okay? And then we got the second heavens, and that's in the stellar space where all the Jupiter, Mars, and so forth are. This is what we call outer space. The stars shall fall from heaven, like Matthew 24:29 says. God described this space to Abraham. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. God is amazing. Now, okay, the first heaven is right, we can see, where airplanes be going from one city to another, birds flying. The second heaven is the space where rockets and stuff go. Then the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. How about that? No one knows the location of God's throne. I guess so. And all we can say is that heaven is where God is located. Heaven is where God is located. Then Jesus passed through them. There's more than one head. And you know, Jesus, the Bible says, he's above all four heavens, Ephesians 4:10, which means one heaven is above another. Verse 4:10 says, and Jesus ascended up far, 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 all heavens. Ephesians 4:10, which means one heaven is above another. And Paul taught that there were three heavens. And he said, I knew a man in Christ who, above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. And so God knows, as one caught up in the third heaven, that we all going to be able to find out what that third heaven is, and that's where he is, and that's our heavenly home. And the Bible also teaches that all of these heavens shall pass away, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Amen and amen and amen. We're looking for his return. So there are the location of heaven. I indicated that we have three. The first heaven is where airplanes fly from one city to another. People fly the kites and stuff like that. We can see the stars. And then the second heaven is the stellar spaces. That's way up there, like you want to go check out Mars and Jupiter and these kinds of things. Then the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. So there's three heavens, but Jesus is in the third one. I want to give you a little, a more description of what heaven is like. You know, like we talk about a house, and you say, well, it's a two-story house, bricks, it's a brick made out of wood, you know, it's a four-story house, it's a one-level house. It got a patio, got a front porch, got this and that. You describe what the house looked like and everything else. So I'm going to give you a little description from all these stuff I read today. I want you to know that the Spirit the splendor and the beauty of heaven far outshines anything, y'all, that humanity can comprehend. And also, it will be impossible to comprehend heaven until we arrive on location. In other words, we can never imagine what it looks like. But we know that heaven is a huge and colorful city. And guess what? Description of heaven. The presence of God. I have some subtitles under the description of heaven. I have what you call the presence of God. Heaven is eternal. Heaven has no death. Heaven has no tears. Heaven is a place of memory. And heaven is the largest city ever built. And heaven will be beautiful and clean. And those are subtitles I have under the description of heaven. Now, with respect to heaven, the presence of God, the Bible tells us what? That is the dwelling place of God. He says, and you know, when we read the Bible, I remember the scripture say, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb of his temple. we go to them because we are the church. We are the church. We are the temple of God. And the temple was a symbol of the presence of God, in other words, when we walk on the earth. Because we walk around, I'm talking believers, we symbolize the presence of God because we are the church. I'm not talking about the building we go to. I'm talking about the believers. We are the church. And another thing I want to say about the presence of God, having the glory of God, and the city has no need. Listen to this. We won't need any sun. We won't need the moon. We don't need anything to shine, keep the place light, because what? Because we know that Jesus is the glory of God. and he lightens it up, and he's a lamb of the Lamb. So, I mean, you know, he will have any more light. He is a bright and morning star. And then, as the God, the heaven is eternal. There's no, part time, temporary in heaven. Heaven is eternal, going forever and forever and forever. Heaven is eternal. Heaven is the place of those who have eternal life. That's us, y'all. Heaven is the place for all believers. And it's what we call an eternal inheritance. I'm talking about heaven is eternal. There ain't no end to heaven. Heaven would exist throughout from one eternity to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And we all be spiritual beings. We don't have to worry about going to the doctor, getting physical checkups and stuff like that. But we would have that kind of heavenly body would continue on throughout all eternity. And also, heaven is described as having a new night. I'm talking about heaven is our eternal home. Again, heaven is described as having no day or night. And this is because what? It is eternal and there is no time. No time, y'all. Which is measured by day and night. And to what time is it? 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock? Oh, that's gone. There's no time which is measured by day and night sequenced in heaven. Eternity. Now listen to this. When I, you know, I'm reading all day. And I turned to the next page and I was looking, I said, wow, I gotta write that down. See, eternity is timeless. It ain't no 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, rock, blah 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 blah. No. Eternally is timeless. And guess what? When I was reading it today, it says, no need of the sun, neither of the moon. And guess where I found that? I found that in Revelation chapter 21, verse 25. No need of the sun, neither of the moon. Revelation 21, 25. And then guess what? Not only heaven is eternal, not only heaven is the presence of God, but heaven has no death and no sickness. Since death means separation, and you know that's what it means, there is no death in heaven. Why? Because we will live forever with God. And guess what? And those who die in Christ, we will be with him forever. No more death. We just got this fleshly death. But when we depart from this body, we are spiritual beings. And God will give us a body up there, but it'll be a body that will not be affected by any disease or any other thing that mankind used to get when we died here on this earth. And let me see. And hell and death is cast into the lake of fire in the world we live. The Bible says death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death when all is over. When his sacrificial death is done, he's up in heaven now. And we have to wear up to fear anything else. The reason God left us is because we had a curse on this earth. And we had a curse on ourselves because there was no way we could have obtained salvation. It is gone forever. Death is gone. Then also, not only heaven has no death, all you got is living from 1 year after year after year after year after year, never ends. And we up there with number holy, righteous sons and daughters of God who love him with all their heart. You don't have to worry about nobody backstabbing us. Nobody murdering, kidnapping, none of that junk. And none going because God got his angels at that door, at the gate of heaven, and nobody can get in there. And that's going to be wonderful. Heaven has no death. And guess what? Heaven has no tears. And this means there will be no more sadness. Ain't that something? This means that there will be no more sadness because what? God was in there should be no death, and I have sorrow of time. And I shall not be any pains for the former things. And there shall be no more death, sorrow, crying. The question is, what? The question is, we will not have a kid. That's not here. I always wonder how all of us can get to remember everybody, because can you imagine at the end of the world, you got millions, zillions of Chinese, millions, zillions of Japanese, millions, zillions of Koreans, Africans, Caucasians, Jews, African, let me see, I already said African-Americans, but India, and all these different nationalities. And can you imagine how in the world you going to live on a planet, a place like heaven, and have fellowship and go from one part of the heaven to the other part of the east, west, and say, hey, child, how you doing? Ain't no way in the world, I mean, I'm talking in our natural mind, that we, the only person we probably need to know is the ones who live right next door, up the street from us, because you're going to have a mix of Chinese, Japanese, all these weird names, and Mexicans, and Mexicans got their different dialects too, and everything else, and German, and Russian, and whoo, all that. The heaven is a place of memory. Listen to this. When I was reading today, I came up with a good solution to my question. The book I was reading says, the question often asks, will we know one another in heaven? And the answer is yes. And that's a big, that was my primary concern. Because, I mean, I don't know everybody in Atlanta, and I don't know everybody on the street that I live in. I may know three houses on one side of me, another three or four houses on the other side, maybe two houses right across the street in front of me. I may know those folks, but I don't know anybody, maybe 15, 20 houses down the street kind of a thing. So the question is, will we know one another in heaven? Well, the answer is yes. David said that he would know his son. Hear what it? David said he would know, well, that's fleshly there, while the child was yet alive. He said, if he died, I know I would know him again, and I would see him again. So he said he fasted and he wept. Who can tell whether God would be gracious to us, that a child may live, and how he would die and all these kind of things? Well, we don't know. That's up to God. But guess what? We will recognize each other. Remember Moses and Elijah when they went up to heaven and they came down and they recognized everybody. They said, hey, there's Moses. They knew who they were. I'm talking about the apostles who died before they got to meet Moses. Moses was going long before they were born. But when Moses and Elijah came down, they recognized who Moses was. See? They recognized Moses and Elijah who had been to heaven. Also, the Bible also said, we shall sit down with Abraham and we're going to sit down with Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine that one day when the end is all over, we shall sit down with Abraham and they shall recognize, they shall be recognized. When we look at them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the cloud of God, and the dead in Christ shall be with the Lord. The Bible said that I shall know even also I am. I shall know even as also I am. You just automatically know. You find that in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 12. So you see I was going up and down that, up and down the scripture trying to find different things. And that was a revelation. I mean, I knew that God ain't going to have us all, us millions of people up in heaven, and we don't know each other. And you can't remember the Chinese names. What's your name? So, okay, all right. Hey, how you doing? Then you see, and then you see a Mexican guy say, hey, neighbor, what's your name? Say, te llamo. ¿Cómo está? Me llamo Juan. Me llamo Juan, which means my name is John. Me llamo Juan. ¿Cómo está? Say, ¿cómo está? What is ¿cómo está? I ain't never had no Spanish, but ¿cómo está mean? How are you? ¿Cuántos años tiene usted? ¿Cuántos años tiene usted? ¿Cuántos años tiene usted? Say, oh, yeah, fine. I'm doing fine. And so I wasn't asking you how are you. I said, "Quantas on your tennis?" I was asking you, "How old are you?" You know, kind of a thing. So we'd be able to understand all the different dialects. Can you imagine that? No matter who's talking, a Chinese, Japanese, or whatever, we'd be able to understand what is being spoken to us. So heaven is a place of memory. we will know who they are because God will put that in our spirit to go around when the world comes to an end. Think about those billions of people who got saved is up in heaven. Can you imagine how long it takes for you to go from one person to the other? What is their name? And my name is just to be introduced. By the time you get to the fourth person, you don't forget what person number one, number two name is. We would just know like we were just raised in the same house. It's like you always know your mama, sister, and brother up in heaven. You know, you got a who are you, you know? So we would know them, intimately, like we know our parents, our husband, and our wife. So, yes, heaven is a place of memory. So we don't have to worry about trying to remember because we'd be in the presence of God, and God would make it possible where we would just know. When you see somebody from Germany or something from Africa, from whatever, you go, hey, John, you know, hey. It'd be like you've been living with the person forever. And that'd be your first time seeing the person. And you go, hey, Billy. Hey, Sandra. Hi, Deidre. You know, hey, John. Hi, Harry. So on, so on. Like, we know each other. That's amazing. Heaven is the largest city ever built. I guess, you know, that's stupid for me to say so. But, you know, God created heaven. And he created for all believers from all over this world. When people think of a city, guess what? They usually conceive a city about the size where they live. Even cities like New York and London and Mexico, they had not begun to approach the size of the city of God. God can build some cities, I'm telling you. Okay? So when I look at descriptions of heaven, I came across this. It says, this description of heaven suggests that it will be a gigantic cube, pyramid, or sphere, according to our present measurements. 12,000 furlongs would be equivalent to 1,500 miles or 2,400 kilometers. If placed in America, the city would reach from New York to the city of Denver, Colorado, and so forth. It's going to be something big. Heaven is something big. I guess so. God, you know, God is God. He knows already how many people are going to be saved and who's going to hell. But, you know, because he knows that doesn't say, well, I'm just in the world right now, God. Just give them an opportunity to live and to commit themselves to them. God knows already because he knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future, all in the same page. He knows it all. And the only reason some people, you know, he let them live to give them an opportunity, and some people get shot, get killed. Some people get killed by a policeman. Some people get in automobile accidents. Some people get die from diseases and all these other kinds of things. Well, even though they died at the age of 30 or 40 or 25, 18, a lot of them had an opportunity to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But thank God, God is a judge. God is a judge. Some people you think going to hell is in heaven because you don't know their story. So you can't just, I know he going to hell. I know she going to hell. He ain't number seven. He doing this. He doing that. So and so. You don't know that person's story. So that's why the Bible said, do not judge. Sometimes the main person you think going to heaven is going to hell. And the person you think going to hell is going to go to heaven. That's the mercy of God, y'all. That's the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we can't judge somebody. You might see in that call right now, look at that drunken. You know, he's always trying to dump David Mike. I wish he'd go ahead and die and go to hell, but that's where he's going. To save us the trouble. You don't know that. He may come across a believer who may lead him to the Lord the very next hour, the very next day. Who knows? And heaven, I said, heaven is the presence of God. Heaven is eternal. Heaven has no death. Heaven has no tears. Heaven is a place of memory. Heaven is the largest city ever built. And then heaven will be beautiful and clean. You don't have to elaborate on that because, oh, gee, you know, I don't think you have any vacuum cleaners up there in heaven. I got any painters. Any carpenters up there, God is all in all. All he got to do is speak it. And it's amazing. You can imagine all those homes we're going to be in, places he had us, ain't going to be spotless, not even a speck of dust, not a mosquito, not an ant, not a roach, none of that stuff. I mean, pure and clean. And the streets are gold, made out of gold. Can you imagine it? Made out of gold. I know the crooks wish they can take a hammer and crack the sidewalk and stuff and take some of that gold back down to earth and be a millionaire kind of a thing. I'm just kidding, y'all. But it's beautiful and clean. I don't have to elaborate that because all he got to do is speak it. You know, nothing unclean going in the heaven, not even if the wind was blowing. Even the wind ain't going to blow no dust into heaven. Heaven is beautiful. Mm-mm-mm. The central focus of heaven would not be the walls. Now, listen to this. when I was looking up another book, and I found it says the central focus of heaven would not be the walls, the streets and foundation or gates, but rather the Lamb and his throne. Everybody hear what I say? The central focus of heaven. What do you like? What you going to focus on? What gets your attention more than anything else? The house the way it's built, or that car they're driving up here, the way we travel, or all this beautiful place that God has made, and all these angels flying back and forth. But you know what the Bible says? The central focus of heaven will be not be the walls, will not be the streets, will not be the foundations, will not be the gates, but rather the Lamb and his throne. Can you imagine every morning when you wake up? That's if you want to sleep. I guess you have to sleep intentionally because that glorified body we have, if you don't go get tired or get sleepy or anything like that, you might want to take a nap just out of habit when you were doing that on earth. But we wouldn't even have to take habits. We have to sleep. I'm pretty sure we have recreations and all this up there. So the central focus that I was saying of heaven would not be what? The walls, what? The streets, what? The foundations and gates, but rather the Lamb and his throne. And the throne was the first thing John saw in heaven. You find that in Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. Let me repeat that. The throne was the first thing John saw in heaven. Can you imagine waking up there? He probably didn't see his uncle, brother, whoever, uncle, granddaddy, whatever, his mama or daddy, whatever. The first thing that brought took his attention was the throne of God. Now, you know that's something. Because I know when you walk right in heaven, it's almost like walking and driving right into Atlanta, and you're not in the middle of California. Before you can see a lot of things, you have to, where you're in central. You'd be right in the middle of California where you can go, you can choose to go north, west, east, or south. But when you go through the pearly gates, it says, we're going to see the throne of God, blessed, the mighty God, because I guess it's up, elevated, and no matter where you are in heaven, you will see the throne of God. That is amazing. And then guess what? I also read one time when I read it, it says, before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, beautiful rivers and waters. You got rivers and trees in certain places in heaven. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Now, that's about description of heaven. I want to talk about now is the inhabitants of heaven. The inhabitants of heaven. Heaven is more than, how should I say this? Heaven is more than the eternal home of the saved. I say it's more than just an eternal place where we're going to be for heaven. Many others will forever live with us there. And that's, I'm talking about all nationalities. These